Okay, good to see y'all. In the crowd, and that's awesome. Good deal. Talking about faith this evening, more specifically, learning to trust God, trusting God more, and trusting God completely in our lives, and which is something that's harder than it sounds to be at first. So, hopefully, you'll get as much from this as I got from preparing it. So, faith is one of the cornerstones of our Christianity. Wouldn't you agree? Faith is extremely important. It's why we're here. We have faith that Christ came, died, and was resurrected. And that's why we're here. That's why we gather to partake of the Lord's Supper, because we have faith that that indeed did happen, and that in doing so and in working out our faith with fear and trembling, that we can one day attain eternal life, as God's promised us. Very important. Just a few things that we have faith. We have faith in the fact that God exists. Romans 1:20, you know, for His eternal for His attributes have been evident in creation, and so we're all without excuse. We see that. Like, as the verse says, every day we see evidence that God is real, and that He did create us and the universe around us. We have faith that He sent His Son, Christ, who died, was buried, and was resurrected. And we believe that through our faith and through God's grace, we can have eternity. And yet, walking by faith is really, you know, we hear the term walking by faith, walk by faith, help us walk by faith in our prayers and everything like that. That term is so much more than an intellectual recognition of these facts. You know what I mean? It's so much more than saying, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, Jesus died. It's so much more than that. So I want to ask you, before we start, what do you think walking by faith is? What does it entail? What does it mean? How do we do it? Anybody? I'm gonna call your name if you don't volunteer. Yes, Caleb.
I think it just means that, you know, we don't necessarily see God, we don't see heaven. Believing is there, that's all we live with.
Somebody else, David, please.
Well, you know, if you walk by sight, as it said, I think that would be more referring to walking by your own plan, like you see what you want to do and you try to follow your own plan without, you know, considering what God wants you to do, you know, walk by sight in that way, instead of saying, here I am, lead me where I go, you have no idea if you're going to go next, or just let God lead you.
Good point. That'll be an excellent tie to what I'm going to be talking about later. Anybody else have anything to say?
It's a dependence on God, like knowing that if you serve Him, then He'll take care of all your else.
In some ways, it's like a relationship, a matter of trust, where you are in the presence of another. Of course, it's not by sight, but walking by faith in many ways could describe, you know, even the marriage relationship in some sense, where there's that measure of trust, that confidence, the agreed upon path. And so I don't know, that's maybe not what you're looking for, but it's still it is a way of living, a way of thinking, and particularly not just belief in a thing, but a relationship with a person.
Absolutely. I think, but please.
I was going to say, like, I think when we talk about walking, I think that it's really important to not just talk about the faith part, but the walking part, in that it's not just something that we say we're doing, but walking by faith. I mean, it's probably already been said it a little bit, but it's a way of life, you know. It's something we are doing. And it's not just, you know, there's a lot of things we can profess to say we're walking by faith. But it's something you have to be physically doing, actively doing.
Absolutely. Great points, everybody. Walking by faith, as has been said several times, is not an action. It's a lifestyle. It's a change in your life. It's a relationship with God. It's dependence on God. It's all of these things, and it's so important that we come to an understanding of this, and and ultimately try our best to figure out what that means and to do it within our lives. So, David, your comment is kind of where I want to go with it tonight. Walking by faith involves trusting in God's judgment over our own. And that's what I really want to talk about tonight, is trusting in God. Trusting in God is a very simple title of what I prepared tonight. And I just want to talk a little bit about trusting in God and what that means, what that entails, and how we do it, and how we know that we're truly trusting in God. Trusting in God, as I've said again, just to reemphasize, is it goes beyond the facts. It goes beyond the facts that we know and can recite. We must know God exists, and at the same time, we have to know God. We have to know God. Does that phrase sound familiar to you? Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Blake, do you mind reading 6 through 8?
We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us, but by reason of the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Thank you. And quickly, Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Now, you see the difference between knowing God exists and knowing God in these contexts, right? You see what I'm talking about? This knowing God in each one of these passages involves action of some sort. It involves love, as in loving each other, loving God, as we read in 1 John, and here I'll read it again. They profess in Titus 1:16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient, and worthless for any good deed. Many claim to know God, don't they? Yeah, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who, when asked, "Do you know God?" they would say no. Unless, of course, they were talking about the sense that we're talking about tonight. Reality, a lot of people who say they know God kind of create their own God and how they view God. You've heard the phrase, when bad times come along or somebody else sees somebody's hardships, you've heard somebody say, my God wouldn't let that happen to me. God wouldn't let this occur. My God this, my God that. You know, I've heard that some before. And really, what they're doing is they're creating their own God and kind of imposing their own will and their own beliefs on that deity rather than getting to know the true God through His Word. And if we begin to do that, the people who do that don't know God. They don't really know God. Knowing God, as Larry said, and several others hinted at as well, knowing God does involve intimate relationship and a living faith. Let's look at James. James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18. Nathan Smith, could you read that for me, please?
What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things that is needed for the body," what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works."
All right, thank you, Nathan. familiar passage to all of us. Faith is proven by our deeds and our actions and the way we live our lives. And as I hinted at before, if we are asking ourselves whether or not we know God, you know, look at our lives, look at what we're doing, look at what we're producing. You'll find your answer there. Now that we have kind of an understanding of that concept, I want to look more specifically at the act and the giving up of self involved in trusting God fully. Why trust God in the first place? Seems like a simple question, I know, or obvious question, I guess. It's not really that simple, I suppose. But I mean, why trust God? Why not trust myself? And me personally, I'm a Christian. I read my Bible. Why don't I decide some things and let God decide some other things? You know what I mean? Caleb, do you have a comment?
Well, God's good, easy reasons that come to mind at first is that God, for one, is incapable of lying. For another, He has always kept His promises throughout the history of the Bible and throughout the history of life. And he's a being that you feel inclined to trust Him throughout the things He's demonstrated through His power and love and compassion. And you just feel like, I just should trust Him. Just let him do His thing.
Good point.
I'm not sure if all that's what you're looking for, but what kind of failures, you know, like, why would we trust in ourselves?
That's right. I want to look at several verses. You're both correct. I'll be kind of flying around here, so you don't have to follow along if you can't keep up and worry about it. Psalm 18, verse 30. Oops. As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. Now in Psalm 22, verse 4 and 5. In Thee our fathers trusted. They trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. To Thee they cried out and were delivered. In Thee they trusted and were not disappointed. In Psalm 36. And verse 7. How precious is Thy loving kindness, O God! And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of Thy wings. God alone is blameless and right. Caleb, you said something that is very important, I think. God keeps His promises. God is faithful. God is faithful. We're talking about having faith ourselves, but God is the perfect example of faith. He keeps His promises. God is faithful. Let's see. 1 Corinthians. I don't remember. 10:13. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be. God is faithful. He does what He says He's going to do. As the psalmists have said in these short passages, He alone is the perfect refuge for us. And Blake, hinging off of what you said, trusting, and I mentioned this in the study we have in the Student Center Friday, trusting others will ultimately lead to disappointment. We're flawed. I'm flawed. You're flawed. And something that I've been terribly guilty of and have suffered a lot of emotional hurt from is placing others on a pedestal just because they're on a perfect pedestal just because they're Christians. You know, we say, Christian, he's a Christian. They would never do this. They would never do that. Well, we're all flawed, and putting 100% trust in anybody other than God will ultimately lead to disappointment. That's not to say that I don't trust Blake to take my dental card to go get the pizzas, or Wesley. I think Wesley got the pizza this time. That's not to say that kind of thing, but putting depending on somebody and expecting them to be perfect, leaning your own faith on somebody else's will ultimately lead to disappointment. I'd like to look at an example of that in Galatians. And we will read the whole story, really. Look in chapter 2 and verse 11. This is Paul speaking. But when Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. Even Peter could fall into something such as prejudice against those who weren't circumcised, and I just want to warn again and stress entirely too much probably, just don't put too much what's the word I'm looking for? Just don't give too much to somebody else. Because they'll end up doing something, sinning, doing something that you don't think is right, which everybody does. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience. And it'll eat at you, and you'll say, why did this person have to do this? Maybe they're not a real Christian. Maybe they're awful. And it comes down to it, they're just flawed, you know. And when you place too much emphasis on one person, a group of people, and they let you down. When you let down by somebody, you know, it only breeds disappointment and anger. You know what I mean? And to dwell on something like that and to let that affect your spirituality and your faith is a big mistake. Put your trust in God, and that won't happen.
Well, one thing that I've been able to improve in recent years is that, you know, as Christians, I think that we should never, ever worry about anything, honestly. Now, when it comes to things, we'll say a plan of spending, a budget. You know, we can plan, and we can say, all right, I'll try to make some kind of organized fashion, say I want to set aside this for bills, this for food, and this, that, and the other. But when it comes to just any everyday circumstances and issues that we face, I think it's totally unchristian for us, and I won't say that, you know, we're going to be perfect and keep from worrying all the time about anything. It'll just happen sometimes, but if we really and truly realize what God is and how powerful He is, I mean, He created everything. If we're being to have enough knowledge and be as perfect as God is and design every blade of grass, every living thing in the world, every process, every cycle, everything, for someone to have that much knowledge and for us to not be able to have faith in it. Like, if I'm in a math class, you want to trust my calculator to tell me the right answer. And that's something that we create. Now, how much knowledge do you think the creator of us who created the calculator has? And if we're having problems trusting in Him to lead us and that He has everything under control, and that's a wake-up call, you know, and should really make us realize where we stand whenever something happens in, like, a grade on a test or something. We just feel like we're never going to get over it, just about anything that could happen, and we'll sit there and lose sleep at night about something that we don't know and that we can't control even if we did know it, you know. So.
Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of going back a little bit. It's kind of like, don't put all your hopes and dreams on, you know, other people. Just because that mistakes can be made and found in other people and yourself, and God can't make a mistake. So if you put your hopes and dreams on God and allow Him to lead you instead of putting them on some other person and them failing and then you feeling horrible that they failed in some way, then you should put your hopes and dreams on God.
Some verses along these lines. We're talking about somebody letting us down that we trusted, Another way of biblically describing that is you become ashamed of them. You trust them, now you're ashamed. And of course a phrase used all throughout Scripture, just a couple of them, different Psalms. And it's like I'm going to miss the one verse I had picked out here. But anyway, Psalms 25, but there's three verses there. Psalms 25, we sing this song actually. Psalms 25:1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Verse 20. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. And of course, you can multiply the verses here. Verse 17 of chapter 31 was the other one I looked up. It says, do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed, but to be silent in the grave. And of course, New Testament uses the same terminology. So, as much as I don't want to let you down, there come times that you'll be ashamed of me and any other relationship, but not with God.
Yeah, right, absolutely. God is faithful, God is constant, God is truthful, and He keeps His promises 100% all the time.
Anyone? I think that's a really good point as far as, like, we're not saying, you know, look around at everyone else and see, oh, they're a bunch of liars, you know, don't trust anybody at all. You can't, because they're going to let you down no matter what, every instance. It's just that being honest with ourselves about, you know, our limitations, about, you know, our abilities, and about the fact that we know we're not perfect and that we do let people down. And it's not just looking at everyone else. And also, we might talk about this a little later, but I think it might be a problem to trust in ourselves, you know, a lot. And what happens is when we let ourselves down, we really, we hit rock bottom.
We're going to talk about that. Oh, yeah. That's a cool, great point. What Blake said along the lines of looking at everybody and just automatically thinking, oh, I can't trust them, oh, they're you know, rotten people. That's called being jaded. And that's a real danger as well, particularly for people who really are trying to help broken people. Because you look around, you get into the lives of somebody that may be struggling, something like that. You learn what their lives are really like. You see the darkness and that the world provides for us, and just can weigh you down. And I've seen a couple of young preachers really suffer from that because, you know, they get into a situation and their faith may not be on God entirely, and they start trying to take care of everybody's problems at once. It just weighs them down. It's like a millstone around their shoulders. And it's very, very dangerous. Anyway, I want to move along here, so thank you for the comments. In trusting God, and this is exactly what you're talking about, trusting God entirely, we have to go against our own understanding and our own reasoning. We're not always going to understand or even receive a why as to why we should do something God's way rather than our own way. We just got to do it. The Bible is filled with examples where somebody plainly knew what God said, but from their own experience, it made no sense. You know what I mean? Still, these people obeyed. You remember Peter in Luke 5. Luke 5, 4 through 8, and when he had finished speaking, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, I will let down the nets. And of course, you remember Joshua. Joshua and mentions him in Hebrews 11:30. Rather than reading the entire story, I'll just look quickly at this passage. Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And, you know, you can all think of how Joshua was feeling after being commanded to do something like that. But he did. He did it anyway because God told him to do it. And of course, since God told him to do it, he got cornered. Trust is based on our confidence in God, confidence in God's ways. And sometimes, as in the case of Peter and Joshua and several others, you're just not going to understand God's ways. Isaiah 55:8, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We're on different wavelengths. We have different perspectives. We are human, we are people, we are imperfect. God is eternal, perfect, all-knowing. We're just going to think differently. Abraham, you remember Abraham, hoped against hope. That's the phrase used in Romans. He hoped against hope that he might be given a son. I want to read that real quick. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. As it's written, the father of many nations have I made you. In the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed. This is speaking of Abraham. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured, that's a key word, fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And verse 23, now not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. We have to be willing to go against our own understanding and our trust in God. We also have to be willing to, at times, put ourselves at risk. Look at what was said about Abraham's sacrifice in the New Testament, Hebrews 11. In verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham here trusted in God to be faithful to his promises, even into the realm of seeming impossibility. You know, it's just amazing to me. He saw this coming. He knew he was going to have to do it. He had the dagger raised, and what was propelling him, it was the faith in God. Not that he didn't have faith that an angel was going to come and grab his hand, like what happened. He just had faith that God was going to keep his promise about Isaac being part of the line to his many descendants. He had faith that God was going to keep that promise, and just knew whatever it took for him to keep that promise, it was going to happen, even if it meant raising him from the dead. And some say, God would never let this happen to me. God never, this just can't be my God that I'm talking about. That's just wrong. I mean, that's the wrong way to look at it. The way God works. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5 through 9. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Brothers and sisters, your faith can cost you. Your faith can cost you a lot. Your faith can cost you your marriage, can cost you your job, it can cost you your family. You think of Matthew 10 when Jesus was talking about his own coming. He's come to put mother against daughter, father against son. It can strain your family very, very, very much so. I remember my mom grew up in a Baptist church, and when she had decided to marry my dad, her mother was not happy at all about it, you know, and that was a big strain for a long time, for years really. She finally came to terms with it after a while, but it's a big strain. And there's things like that can happen for the cause of Christ, for trusting in God. It can even cost you your life at times. You think of people who've had to stare death in the face and be asked whether or not they believed in God. Yes.
An interesting verse along these lines. We talked about how God will never let us down and be ashamed, but we can lack faith in Him. And God says we are being ashamed in that act. Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and his holy angels. And so our willingness, sometimes you talk about these people that make those sacrifices, people see the sacrifices and they don't have enough trust in God to go down that path. And what God says, you're ashamed of me when you do that. And could you imagine on Judgment Day, your name being called out, Jesus' face turns red, he looks down and shakes his head?
I wouldn't want
to have that happen.
You said that was Mark
8:38.
38, okay.
Mark 8:38. Okay, so if we're ashamed of Jesus now, don't trust him. He'll be ashamed of us at the Judgment Day. And I never knew yet.
Great point.
You mentioned Isaiah 55, saying, you know, your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. Do you think that is saying kind of like a, just learn to deal with that, because, you know, God is so much greater and his thoughts are higher and you're never going to attain that, or is it?
Well, probably to a sense. I mean, there is a sense where, you know, we're never going to have the perspective that God has.
Right.
But I don't think it's...
You know what I'm getting at, like...
Yeah, sort of, maybe. Not really.
To me, that's key in this trusting God, because, like, how are we going to know his ways at all, you know? Well, we got to have a relationship with him. We have to be studying his word, things like that. And we have to be kind of trying to get to that point where we have more of an understanding of God, you know? Because I think that if we just sit back and we just say, well, you know, God's so much wiser, and, well, I mean, I believe that. I mean, there's no way that I'm ever going to attain the level of wisdom or anything or power that God has. But does that mean that I actually sit back and just say, all right, well, there's nothing I can do? I mean, I think that's a really big problem when it comes to, and especially when it comes to trusting God. I mean, it requires, you said it requires work, you know? And you said it was an active thing.
Yeah. I see what you're getting at, yeah. I have an example along those lines. You know, it's not what we've got a decision to make coming up lately. Me and Becca getting married, you know, we got to decide where we're going to live at some point. And Alabama, Atlanta, wherever the job is, really. There comes a point where there's going to be hard decisions that the answer isn't just going to get, you know, slammed into your mind. You have to apply the principles that you know in God's Word, pray about it, and then come to a decision based on the words of God. An example that's happened to me already. I was, for a while, on the verge of being a classical musician since I've been here. So it's something that, frankly, you know, I've got a real talent for and could make it. that way. But you think of what it takes to be a classical musician. Travel, late nights, being around people that aren't, typically are not very godly people. And but I was thinking about it anyway. I was thinking about it anyway. I was telling myself, oh, this, I can make this work. I can make this work. I can go to church, you know, churches around, you know, wherever I was and things like that. But that's just that, and I think that's kind of what you're getting at, maybe. That was just one of the, and I've decided against that now, thankfully. Came to my senses, really. That was just one of the things. I had the decision whether to go to the business lifestyle and, you know, aim for, to be a family-oriented, you know, church-going person, or to follow a worldly passion that I have, and to add with the whole Christianity thing. And that was just one of those instances where I applied God's principles. I trust in God that, because my thing was, I love music so much. How am I going to get that much enjoyment out of it if I'm not making a career out of it? Oh, I just, and it sounds kind of petty, but it's important to me, and I trust in God that I'm going to find fulfillment, and He's going to give me fulfillment in, you know, in whatever. It doesn't have to be music. That was my own judgment, my own decisions that were getting in the way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, like, instead of just sitting back and you do what you want to do, for me, I find those verses in Isaiah 55 an encouragement to try to make your ways God's. You know, not bring God's ways down to your level. Make your. I'm not at all saying that I can have God's thoughts necessarily. Like every thought I have, that's from God. But, you know, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, try to make your ways, and any decision, anything like that, try to mold your ways to God's. You know, what would God want you to do? What would He have you to do? Instead of just making your own decisions, and like you said, kind of. You said add living Christianity into your life.
Seth?
Yes?
What interested me about Isaiah 55 is the two verses before verse 8. Seeking the Lord while He may be found, calling you upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And then it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So it seems like almost, maybe it could also be applied to forgiveness, because God will abundantly pardon, because He's so much higher, and He's so much nobler, and more loving than we are. So in that aspect, we need to make our ways like His ways, and I think that's part of a living faith is, I mean, God says, you know, He'll forgive us if we forgive others. So if we really believe that, then we gotta do it. Which
great.
Is a lot easier said than done.
Great point. Okay. Let me look real quick. Let me get back on track. So another example. Just real quick. Everybody's got a friend that is probably conflicted with this at some point or another. Friend had a job. He had a job that was making him work on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. It was the job. Like, he had to, it was what he was supporting his family with, you know, and he stayed in that job, even though, you know, it's easier said than done, you know, leaving your job and leaving family for help with something better. But, yeah, what he would say, you know, so what if they're making me work Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? I can do a lot of good for the people at this job, you know. And that's a classic example of trust in what you can do and what your abilities are, as opposed to going on what you know God would have you to do. You put yourself in, and you think, and I thought about it, he thought about, you know, oh, his kid, he's got three kids. He's got three kids under the age of four. He's got to feed them. What's he going to do? He's got to keep that job, right? You put yourself at risk. You put your family at risk. Because you love God and you trust God. Because God, one of God's enduring promises is food and shelter. He's going to take care of us. You know, and it's just, and that's a hard decision, and it's not one that I hope that I ever have to make, but it's the same kind of thing. Now, at the conclusion of all this, two questions, really. Have you fully surrendered to God's will? Can you look at your life and say that you fully surrendered to what God would have you do? And then another question, have you ever really trusted God? Have you ever really trusted God? I mean, you know, I can think of times in my life where it was all me all the time. I'm not saying that I didn't go to church or you know, do all the regular Christian stuff, but there were times where, times where in my life and probably in a lot of y'all's lives where it was all me all the time. And you got to ask yourself, have I surrendered to God's will entirely? Just think about it for a while. God is faithful to us, and He's promised to take care of us. And all we got to do is let go. Let go and trust God. Any comments, thoughts, questions, complaints? Alright.
Well, trust, just like you seek a relationship with someone, a dating relationship, even marriage, trust comes by knowing the person, seeing them, experiencing them. If you want to build a greater faith in God, you really need to spend some time reading the Bible with the intent to understand it and the intent to better learn what God is like. Because once you understand God never lets you down, He absolutely cares for you. As the passage quoted earlier in Psalms 22, as Jesus knew that He's enthroned with the praises of Israel, that's how you build real faith. We can intellectually know God exists by evidences. But trust comes by knowing Him as a person. And that takes a little more time.
Thank you all for listening.